Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Gimal. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Lilian Bat Fneha. El Narefana La. El Narefana La. El Narefana La. Refuat Nefesh. Refuat Aguf. Refuatah. Kiruba Labo Vechini Rasul VeNomar. Amen. Today's daf is also being studied. Refuah Shelema. Rabbeinu Yitzhak Ben Tufeha. Enna refanalo betoch shear chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Alun Ishmat, Hacham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem terichem began Eden. Amen. We are going to begin on the bottom of daf bet, actually on the bottom line at the metive. Again, we're still in the sugya of trying to bring proofs to what the word or of the Mishnah means. Till now, in the Gemara, we haven't gotten past the first word of the Mishnah, or. So the Gemara yesterday brought two conclusive proofs that or indeed means urta. Urta meaning night. Now the Gemara is going to bring some more questions and proofs regarding that word. Metive, the Gemara brings a question. Morzutra. It says in the Mishnah in Kiritut and in Eduyot, Hamapelet or Lishmonim ve'ehad, Bet Shammai potrim mekorban, Ubet Hillel mehayevin. Let's just review some of the laws of ladies that give birth. Torah tells us if a lady gives birth to a female, for the first 14 days, she is tamea. V'tamea shivu'ayim, kenedata. After the 14 days, for the next 66 days, she is considered tehora, meaning the blood that comes out of her is considered dam tohar. Now, which means she would be permissible to be with her husband during the subsequent 66 days. On day 80, that's when the Yemei Tohar end, and therefore the night of that 80, let's say the 80th day is on a Monday, Monday night, already the blood that would come out of her resumes to becoming Teme'ah. On day 81, which would mean Tuesday morning, she has to bring a Korban. She brings the Korban of her birth, which means normally a lady that gives birth, she's obligated to bring certain Korbanot. So our discussion in this Mishnah is, what if a lady had a miscarriage during the 66 days? So now she also, normally for a miscarriage, let's say, she would normally have to bring a korban as well. The question is, can she get away with one korban? Since she's bringing a korban at the end of the 80 days, and she had a miscarriage already before the chiyuv of the first korban came on her. So therefore, do we say that, what? You can combine with one korban, you can cover the chiyuv for both the pregnancy and the miscarriage. So the discussion here actually is a specific case. Hamapelet or lishmonim. She had the miscarriage on the night of the 80th, which means that on, let's say, Monday is the 80th day, so on the Shmonim, at night, she had the miscarriage. Now, the question is, does she bring one Korban or two? So Bet Shammai says, I'm a pellet or the Shmonim ve'ehad, meaning Monday night in our case, which is the night of the 81st, right? Because by us the day starts at night. Hamapelet or lishmonim ve'echad, Bet Shammai potrim mekorban. Bet Shammai says she's exempt from a korban, meaning the korban she'll bring the next day, the next morning, covers both. Covers the pregnancy and the miscarriage. Ubetelel mehayevin. Betelel on the other hand says no. She is indeed hayevet to bring two korbanot. For the pregnancy and for the miscarriage. Let's read Rashi. I'm a pilot all this morning vehad. Just to get the clarity in Rashi. This is the Torah law.
After 14 days, you can stay with the husband.
Yeah, but this is, you know, we're being, discussing the Korban. Of course, that's how she had a miscarriage. Because after 14 days, she was with her husband, and she got a miscarriage from that. From being with her husband. If she wasn't allowed to be with her husband, she wouldn't be able to... Hamapelet, look at that shira, she will say clear. Hamapelet on this morning, ve'ahad, b'chritut perikamah, d'kai malan, zot Torah tayoledet, melamed she'mivi'a Korban ehad, al viladot harbe, which means she can bring one korban for many births. Yachol shetavi al leda shelifne melot ve'al leda shelahar melot korban echad velo yoter. Which means, is there a difference if she has the miscarriage before the 80 year up or after the 80 year up? So the Gemara over there says yes, there is indeed a difference. Before the 80 year up, where the hayuv of the first one didn't hit yet. So therefore, she would only have to bring one, according to everybody. Let's say on day 47, she had the miscarriage. Everybody would hold, you're covered with the one korban. And everybody would hold, if let's say she had the miscarriage after the 80, which is after the hayuv of the first one came on her, so automatically a second hayuv is on her as well. The only discussion in our case is a specific case, where the miscarriage happened on the 81st at night. Continue Rashi. Tamudomar zot, shim yalda lachar melot. Let's say she gave birth after the 80 days. Kegon. Shetabla lesof shivu'ayim shel nekeba. She went to the mikveh after the 14 days. According to the Torah law. Venit abra, and she got pregnant. Vepila im toch melot hepila. If she had the miscarriage within the 80, nifteret bekorban echad. She's pitura, she only has to bring one korban. V'im lahar melot hepila, kevar nithayeba bekorban harishon, kodem leda sheniya. Right? She was obligated already in the first korban before she had the second chayuv. ובסוף מלות של לידה שנייה תביא שתי קורבנות. And therefore you would have to bring two קורבנות. ואם הפילה, here's the case now, ליל של כניסת 81, שכבר עברה מלות שלה, אבל עדיין אינה ראויה להבאת קורבן, שאין קורבן בלילה. Here's the catch 22 over here. Technically on that night, the night of the 81st, her ימי טהרה ended. So technically, if you look at it from that aspect, you say, okay, well, it's over. Now maybe she has to bring a separate korban. But Beit Shammai looks at it and says, no, it's not over yet. Because Laila is Lavzman korban. Because at night you can't bring a korban. So well, technically, the chiyuv of korban doesn't hit until the next morning. So since she had the miscarriage the night before, she still nifted it with one korban. That's Beit Shammai Sevara. That you're right. That even though technically it's over, which means if she would see blood that night, Teme'ah, the Yemei Tohara are officially over. It's Melot Yemei Tahora. But it's not yet the time of Hayuf Korban. So therefore Beit Shammai says, she only has to bring one korban the next day. There's no difference between having the miscarriage on day 47 or having it on the night of the 81st. Bottom line, it's not Zman Korban yet. The Korban didn't fall on her, rest on her to bring, so she's Petura. What is Beit Hillel's logic? Beit Hillel says, listen, bottom line, it's Milot. Bottom line, the 80 days are over. Finished. And the Torah says, after the 80 days are over, she's hayevet to bring a korban. Technical business. You can't bring the korban at night. I don't care. It's melot. That's the machloket. Therefore, she would have to bring two korbanot. To Beit Hillel, there's no difference between the 81st at night or having the miscarriage the 81st in the day. Which means, again, everybody would hold the 81st in the day. You have to bring two korbanot.
When you tell her.
obviously, which means if she had the miscarriage from she was pregnant from before. Yeah. Obviously, she didn't get pregnant on the 82nd. She had the miscarriage on the 82nd day. So then already everybody would agree. Finish. Since the hayyuv of the Qurban came on you by the morning already, for sure. Then for sure you have to bring two Qurbanot because this is a new item. The machloket is in that one case at night. So comes again one answer. Betelel mechayvin. Amru betelel lebet shamay. So now betelel tells bet shamay. My shena or shimunim ve'ehad miyom shimunim ve'ehad. First he tells him, what's the difference between the night and the day? Bottom line, it's melot yemet tahora. So first of all, he asks him, how could you make a chiluk? Now, second question, he says, ve'im shivalo letum'ah lo yishvelo lekorban? And if you're going to agree with me that by the night, if she sees blood, it's blood of tum'ah, which means you see clearly that the Yemei Tahora ended. You agree to me that Le'inyan Tum'ah, it's considered blood that's Tum'ah. So you're not going to equate it to the Din of Qurban itself? So ask them two questions. Number one, what should be the difference between the night and the day? Number two, if you're going to equate it Le'inyan Tum'ah, so you should equate it Le'inyan Qurban. Now, here's the proof. Midka Amar Betelel Bet Shamay Maishena Or Shimonim Ve'ehad Miyom Shimonim Ve'ehad Shmachmina Or Urtahu Shmachmina. From the fact that the way Betelel questioned Bet Shamay was, what's the difference between Or Le Or Shimona Asar Ve'ehad Liyom Shimona Asar Ve'ehad? So he uses the word Or and Yom. So what does Or must mean? Laila. Bingo. Proof. Now, we don't have the give and take of what Bet Shammai answered this question. Bet Shammai has to respond to this. So obviously, Bet Shammai has to defend his position. So that she gives us, from Masechet Kiritut, how Bet Shammai defended himself against this claim. So let's read it inside. Look at Rashi Dibura Matil Im Shivalo. Im Shivalo Letum'ah Lo Yishvelo Lekorban Betmi'ah. Meaning Ve'od Ra'ayah that Bet Shammai says. Ve'od Ra'ayah Acheret. Do'ir Ve'shavelo Letum'ah. She'ad Shekiyat Ha'ma until sunset Shel Shemunim of the 80th Dameh HaTehorim. And once sunset comes, when she enters the 81st, which means when it comes to Tum'ah, it starts at the night. Right? Her Tum'ah doesn't start the next day, it starts in the evening. So why don't you say the same notion applied to the Qurban? Just like if she has the miscarriage the next day, she's chayav a separate Qurban. That's Betelel's question. And Bet Shammai's response was, lo. Big difference. The night is different than the day of Inyan Qurban. Because at night, it's not a Sha'at Hayyuf Qurban. And since it's not a Sha'at Hayyuf Qurban, the Hayyuf of the first one didn't enter yet. So therefore, she could be covered with one Qurban the next day for both. Tum'ah works at night, Tum'ah works in the day. There's no difference to Linyan Tum'ah. There's a difference between the deen of Tum'ah and Qurban. So that's the Sevara of Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai holds that what? That Linyan Tum'ah, it starts immediately at Shikiyah of the 81st. But Linyan Qurban, since there's no Hiyuv, had she had the miscarriage that night, she'll be covered with one Qurban that she brings the next day. But again, for our purposes, the key line was Betelel's response. What's the difference between Or and Yom? Comes again when I brings another proof or question. Okay, now we bring a question from the Dina of Korbanot. Yachol Yehene Echal Or Lishlishi. Is it possible that we would think that one can eat a Qurban? What type of Qurban? We're talking about over here Zevachim or Korban Shelamim. Right, the Torah tells us that the Korban Shelamim has a certain amount of days that one can eat it. Torah says 2 days. So now the Shela is, can I eat the Korban Shelamim on the night of the third day? Let's give the example. Brought the Korban on Monday afternoon. Okay? So you have Monday afternoon to eat. That's one day. You have Monday night. You have Tuesday afternoon. That's already the second day. Good, so there's your 2 days. The Torah tells you, on the third day, you have to burn it. Whatever's left over, you have to burn. So the Gemara's question is, what about Tuesday night? Could you eat the Korban on the night of the third? Yom HaShish, which is Monday's one, Tuesday's two, Tuesday night already is the night of the third. So the Gemara wants to, can you eat Korban Shelamim on that night, on the night of the third? So the Gemara says, Yachol Yehen Echar Or Lishlishi, possible. The Gemara says, Vidinu. It's be a Kalahomer. How? Zevachim Ne'echalim Le'yom Echad. Zevachim are eaten for one day. For example, Korban Todah. Person brings a Thanksgiving Korban for certain items that you have to make a Korban Todah for. Torah clearly says you get one day for a Korban Todah. Ushlamim ne'echalim l'shnei yamin. And shlamim you get 2 days. Ma lehalan laila achar hayom. Just like by Korban Todah, you get the night after the day. Which means if you brought the Korban on Monday, the Korban Todah, you get to eat it Monday, and you get to eat it Monday night, right? The night that follows the day. Afkan Laila Acharayom. So I would say that also you get the night, that's right, that follows the day, which means the Torah says you have 2 days, right? I have Monday and I have Tuesday. So I should get the night also that follows the second day. Just like by Korban Todah, it's the night following the day. So too, by Korban Shelamim, the only difference is when you get 2 days. And the night following, it's not a Kal Vachomer, it's really a Deen. Deen would be like a Hekesh, we're making a comparison. Okay? So the Gemara says, not so. That's why we have a Pasuk to tell you, not so. Talmud Lomar, Biyom Zivchachem Ye'achel Umimachorat. Which means, you eat the Korban Biyom Zivchachem, on the day that you sacrificed it, umi mahorat, and the next day, vehanotar ad yom. Oh, and the Torah says, and whatever is left over, ad yom hashilishi, until the third day, you burn. So the Gemara makes a derasha, beod yom hu ne'echal, ve'eno ne'echal le'or shilishi. You only eat the Korban in the day, but you cannot eat the Korban at night. Right? The second day you can eat it, but not the subsequent night. What's the derasha? Read the first rashi on the first wide line. Tamud lomar umimachorat v'hanotar ad yom. That's right. You can eat it the next day, mimachorat v'hanotar ad yom. And the leftovers ad yom, until the third day. Be'od shehu yom mimachorat achol v'lo mishetachshach. So the Torah is saying that you only have to eat it on the yom of the machorat, on the day of the morrow, but not the night. So that's the Gemara's chiddush. Korban Shelamim, you get Monday night, Tuesday. Tuesday night, cannot eat it. So comes the Gemara and says, Yachol Yisaref Miyad. Now the question is, when do you burn it? Do you burn it Tuesday night immediately? Well, v'dinu. Yeah, we make a kesh. Zevachim ne'echalim liyom ve'layla echad. Zevachim in Korban Todah you get the day and the night. Ushlamim ne'echalim l'shnei yamim ve'layla echad. And shlamim get 2 days, and like we're learning now, one night. Ma le'alan, just like my Korban Todah. Tekef la'achila sirefa. When do you burn the Korban Todah? Immediately, once the Achila time expires, you burn. You burn the Korban Todah Monday. eat it Monday, eat it Monday night, Tuesday morning already, burn. Oh, so I'll say the same thing, Afghan. Tekef la'achila tserefa. Meaning, korban shelamim, I get Monday night, Tuesday. Tuesday night already it's forbidden, burn it, Tuesday night. Kamara says, no sir, Talmud lomar, benotar mibesar azabah, Bayom Shilishi Baesh Tisarif. See, this Sarif, we have a pasuk clearly says that the burning takes place Bayom Shilishi. Bayom Ata Surfo, Viata Surfo Balaila. Okay. You burn it in the day, not the night. Let's just review the halakhot that come out of this. Korban Shalemim comes out, you get 2 days and one night. Like we say in the Korbanot every morning, right? Shalemim, it's Shnei Yamim Velaila Ehad. Monday night, Tuesday night, it's in limbo. You can't eat, but you don't burn it. The burning takes place on the Thursday, on the Wednesday morning. Different than Korban Todah. Korban Todah is different in two things. Number one, you get the, when it says one day and one night, it's the night following the day. That's one difference. And second difference is you burn it immediately once the eating expires. Meaning you would burn it Tuesday morning. For our purposes, the Gemara says, Midekamar yehene echal or lishlishi. In the Gemara's original question, the Gemara said, do you think you'd be able to eat the Korban Shelamim or lishlishi? What is or lishlishi? Must be the night of the shlishi. So what do you see? Alma or urtau. Must be that or is night. Shmar mina, proof positive. So that's another proof that or means night. Tashema, now we bring yet another proof. Tashema, or shel yom kippurim. Okay, we're going to explain it right away. The night of Kippur. Or shel yom kippurim. Mepalel sheva. The amidah of Kippur is seven berachot. Umitvadeh. And there's a vidui in the amidah. Shahrit. Second white line. Shahrit mitpalel sheva. Shahrit of Kippur. You pray seven tefillot. Umitvadeh. Seven berachot, I'm sorry. And you say vidui in amidah. Be musaf mitpalel sheva. Again, musaf also has seven berachot. Umitvadeh. Be mincha mitpalel sheva. Umitvadeh. We have to add bin'ila mitpalel sheva umitvadeh. Right? Add ni'ila. And then bi'arbit, meaning that's Motzei Kippur, mitpalel me'en shemona asar. According to this opinion, you don't pray a full amidah on Motzei Kippur. You pray the havinenu, which we learned about in Masechet Berachot. That's the abridged version of the amidah, which has the first three berachot, the last three berachot, and then the middle is Shomei Tefillah, with one line of every beracha. One line from Atachonin Ladam Da'at, one line from the Yashiv Rabbi Zalatik, etc. And you make one Birkat Kolel, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah. Why does this opinion say that a Motzei Kippur you say an abridged amidah? Torah. This opinion says you fasted all day long. You're hungry. Therefore, we're not going to matriach the sibur on Motzei Kippur to pray a long amidah. They can pray the short amidah. Rav Hanina ben Gamliel omer mishum abotav mitpalel shemona asar shelevot. Now, Motzei Kippur, you pray a regular 18 complete. Why? Mipnei shesarich lomar havdala b'cholena da'at. Because on Motzei Kippur, you have to say atachon antanu. Now we learned in the Masechet Berachot that one thing about the Berachav Havinenu, you can't say Havinenu on Motzei Shabbat. Why? Because Havinenu does not allow itself to be inserted in it Atachon Antanu. They don't want any inserts in Havinenu. So since you have to insert Atachon Antanu, Havinenu doesn't work. So he says you have to pray the 18 full. But what do we need this statement? What does it do for us? Alma or urtahu shma'amina. But this proves to us that the word or means night. Why? Why? Because it's sort of or shel yom kippurim. Then it said shahrit. Right? So obviously or must be the previous night. Good. So we brought another proof that what? Or is night. Now the Gemara gets to its point. Tashema. Detane debe shemuel. Okay, we have a Braita from Shemuel, the Bet Midrash of Shemuel. Now this is clear. Lele arba'a asar. The night of the 14th, Botkin et ha'chametz lo'oraner. Then it's clearly. Because our Mishnah was vague, right? Our Mishnah said Or. This Braita is telling you explicitly. When do you make Bedikat Hametz? Le, Arba'asar, Motkir Ta'ametz. Alma, Or, Urtahu. Again, clearly that the Or of the Mishnah must have meant night. Ela. Now let's go back. If you remember the way this whole sugya started was with the Mahlok between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Beautiful. And the Gemara said that according to Rav Huna, Or is Naghe. Naghe we learned day. And Rav Yehuda said Laila. But now we're saying can't be. Everybody must hold that Or is Urta. So then what was Rav Huna saying? How could Rav Huna say Naghe? Naghe is day. How can he say it's day? So the Gemara says, Eila ben Rav Huna u ben Rav Yehuda v'kul alma or urtahu. Everybody must hold that it's urta, it's night. V'la pinige. And really Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are really not arguing on that point. Mor ki atre u mor ki atre. Just each rabbi was calling night according to the terminology of where he came from. There are different ways of calling night. And therefore, Be'atre de Rav Huna, in the place of Rav Huna, Karu Nage. The way you say night in his location was Nage. Ube'atre de Rav Huna, Karu Lele. He called it Lele. This is an argument semantics here. This is an wordage. So comes the Gemara and says, Vetana Didan. So our Tana, Mai Ta'ama Loketani Lele. Which means, if our Tana would have just said the word Lele, it would have saved us a whole daf and a half over here. She's, why did our Tana say, simple, Lele Arba Asar, Mutkir Metahamed, then we go right into the subject. Instead of having to debate, or Urta, is that, why did the Tana not use the word Lele? So the Gemara says, Lishna Me'al Yahudinakat. The Mishnah wants to use a more refined, or I should say a more positive language, which means in, if you have a choice between two words, Or and Lele, the more positive word, or more the refined Or is more positive than Laila. Even though it means the same thing, it's a nicer Lashon. And the Mishnah opts for a nicer Lashon. Where do you see this concept that you have to opt for a nicer lashon if you have an option? So give us Uchter Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. They like the principle of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Ne'olam al yotzi adam davar migunim mipiv. A person should never let a not nice word come out of his mouth. And be careful with his lashon. What's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's proof? Share ikem katuf shmona otiyot. The Torah went out of its way and wrote 8 extra letters where it didn't have to, but it wrote 8 extra letters. Ve'lo tzi davar migunim mipiv, just not to say something that's not nice. Not to put something that's migunim, something that's not proper. Why? What do you see? This Shnei Emad by the story of Noah. It says min ha'behema ha'tehora. Right, he has to bring 7 of each Tehora animal, right? So it's mina behema tehora, umina behema asher enena tehora. Now the Torah was very verbose here. The Torah could have said umina behema hatemea. From the fact that it said umina behema asher enena tehora, that's a long way of saying temea. So you see, the Torah wrote extra, according to the, we'll make the calculation immediately. But the Gemara says it's 8 extra letters, just what, to say it in a positive way. Look at Rashi. Asher enena tehora. Now, I want to point out, it's not saying that the word lele is migune. It's just bringing Rabbi Yehoshua to show you that you try to use the nicer languages. Lele and Or, not one of them is migune. They're both accepted, just one is more refined. When it comes to Tehora and Teme'a would be considered migune. That's already, not proper. But the point of the Gemara is to show you that you'll change the lashon for it. It's worth it to change it. Look at that she has it in the Torah. Velo ketiva behema hatemea ki urche hare shemona otiyot ikem. How? Hatemea hamesh otiyot. Then, right? The Torah could have written five letters. Hatemea he tet mem aleph he. It's five letters. Asher enena tehora shelosh esrei otiyot. So therefore, what's the spread between Asher enena tehora tatemea? So the spread is eight. So you see, the Torah wrote eight extra letters. Why? To show you it's worth it to use lashon nekiyah. So comes Rashi and says, hold it. The rest of the Torah, it says the word temea many times. So it's not like the Torah always says Asher enena tehora. It says va'afagav de bedoraita ketiv tameh. Shani urhe behad duchta lelamedcha lehazel lashon nekiyah. The Torah wants to teach it to you once. The Torah is not going to teach it to you every single time, this rule. It gave it to you once. It shows you it's kedai. It's worth it to make a whole switch, you know, even to add eight letters to the Holy Torah. And that's it. You learned your lesson. And then the rest of the times it puts it as it is. Comes the Gemara and says, you think it's only eight letters? I'll give you a case where it's nine letters, even where the Torah went out of its way to use lashon that's not megune. The papa amar tesha. How? Shneemar ki ye becha ish asher lo yehiye tahor mekere laila. Right, a person that's going to not be tahor mekere laila. So look what the pasuk says. The pasuk could have said, according to Rashi, the pasuk could have said, "Asher lo yetor havile lemichtav ish tameh." Right? Could have just said, "If a guy's tameh, because he had a seminal emission," but it doesn't say "ki ye ish tameh." It says "ki ye becha ish asher lo yetor mikere laila." Says "vechina memashvit letahor haser vav." Even if you're going to spell the word tahor without a vav, there's two ways to spell the word tahor. Tet he resh, I can spell tet he vav resh. Even if you're going to spell it without a vav, spell it the short way, right? Haser vav ika ikum tesha. How? Sharesh shtem esre yesh. You have 12 letters. Asher lo yehye tahor. It's 12 letters. Vetame eno ela shalosh. It could have gotten away with the word tame, which is 3. 12 minus 3, 9. So the papa goes, don't tell me, I'll give you a case, not 8, I'll give you a case where the Torah wrote an extra 9 letters. Now, by the way, if you spell it with a vav, so then already you have 10. Right? Because now you have an extra letter in the word tahor. So 13 minus 3 gives you 10. So that's the next line of the Gemara. Ravina Amar Eser. Ravina says, no, it's actually 10 extra letters. Why? Vav de tahor. Because you spell tahor with a vav. So that's 13 letters minus the 3 that it could have written. Tameh, which is 10. Ravachabri Yaakov Amar Shesh Esre. He's arguing a case where the Torah wrote an extra 16 letters. This actually comes from the Nevi'im. Shneemar, because it says, Shemuel Aleph. Ki Amar, because he said, Mikrehu Bilfi Tahor Hu. Ki lo Tahor. Because he said, Mikrehu, he had a Mikreh, an emission. Bilfi Tahor, he was not Tahor. Hu, ki lo Tahor, because he was not Tahor. Now, if you count all these words from Bilti Tahoru Kilo Tahor, so that already you have 19 letters there. The pasuk could have said very simply, Ki Amar Mikrehu Tameh. Finished. It could have written one word, Tameh. Instead it wrote 19 letters. 19 minus the 3 it could have written, 16. So you see, he wrote 16, like not to say the word, Tameh. Tanya deber Rabbi Ishmael, le'olam yisaper adam bilshon nikiyah. A person, whenever he converses, he should always try to use a clean language. Share bezav, when it comes to a zav, that's a male that has an emission from him that makes him tameh. So whatever the zav sits on becomes avatuma, right? That's moshav azav. So the Torah uses lashon kerom mirkav. The Torah by a Zav says whatever the Zav rides on. For example, if he rides on an animal, so he's sitting bottom line on the saddle, so it's going to make the saddle tamei. Now he uses the word mirkav. Now mirkav for a male is not such a it's not such a bad word, but for a female that's not such a nice word. Why? Because it's implying that she has to get on the animal, and mirkav, you spread the legs. It's not modest to say that about a lady. So therefore, when the Torah wrote it by a lady, it doesn't write the word mirkav. What does it say? Ubisha kira'om moshav. Whatever she sits on. Even though technically she's also getting on the same animal, I don't want to explicitly tell you how she has to get on the animal by spreading her legs. That would be mirkav. So the Torah used lashon moshav by a lady. It's a nicer way of saying it. The omer, and you should know we have a pasuk that says in Iyov, v'tivchar lashon harumim. You should choose the words of the hachamim, which means hachamim use choice words. Arumim is chokhmah. Arum is smart. V'tivchar, right, cunning or sharp, smart. V'tivchar leshon arumim. You should choose the words of hachamim. Choose lashon nivchar. They use choice words. The Omer, we have another pasuk that says, this pasuk is in Iyov as well, V'da'at sefatai barur millelu, which means, and a person that expresses himself should express himself, millelu is to express oneself with refined language. My Ve'omer, what do I need these two pesukim over here? Mm-hmm. You proved your point already. You proved me from the Zav. You proved me from already how you should use Lashon Nikiya. What are these two extra pesukim that you bring me from Iyov? So the Gemara says, V'chite ma'ani mili b'deoraita. Maybe I'll tell you that that's only when it comes to the Torah. The Torah uses a nice Lashon and refined language. But maybe when the rabbis make their enactments and they're discussing their halakhot, maybe the rabbis don't necessarily have to use, you know, the Lashon Nikiya. No, Nach is the Oraita. The question is, Nach is not the Rabbanah, Nach is the Vrei Kabbalah, it's from the Nevi'im. That's the Oraita. The point is, the Hachamim themselves, when they're making their enactments, are they just as careful in the Lashon, that they also have to use Lashon Nikiya? So it says, I would think maybe the Rabbanah not, Tashema ve'omer ve'tibhar leshon arumim. That yes, even the arumim, even the Tamid Hachamim, they also have Lashon Nivhar. They also have a choice language. Even when they write their dinim, they also use the preferred cleaner language. V'chitem ahani mili b'drabanan. Okay, you put me out there. Doraita drabanan. Aba b'mili da'alma lo. Yeah, but maybe just in conversation that's got nothing to do with, let's say, necessarily Torah, maybe it's not mandatory to use Lashon Nikiya. That's why the second pasuk is ve'omer ve'da'at sefatai barur millelu, meaning sefatai, any conversation, any words that you're going to use, even in another Torah conversation, not a deoraita, not a banan, barur millelu, meaning you express yourself in a clean, nice way. Comes the Gemara and says, ubisha lo ketiba mirkav. Side point now. You told me that the Torah will not use the word mirkav, riding, by a lady. What do you mean? What do you mean? It says by Rivka, Batakum Rivka v'na'arotea, v'terkavna ala gemalim. When she went to greet Yitzhak, it says that she rode on the camels. V'terkavna. Oh, you see over here, it's not a refined lashon. Hata mishum bi'ituta de gemalim urhai. Which is over there, it's normal for a lady, she doesn't sit on a camel. Because if she's going to sit sideways on the camel, she's going to fall off. Because the camels are very tall. And therefore you need to hold on. So therefore, in such a case, the Torah is telling you, it's normal for a lady to be rochev, in order that she can hold on to the animal. So therefore that's not a breach. Which it sounds like from the Gemara, if there's a reason why you have to tell it to me, because if it's the normal derech, then already, I'll tell it to you because I'm teaching you lessons. The derek to be to scale on a camel, so that's normal. Mashieke by Zava, you can tell me the word Mishkav, you can tell me the word Moshav. It's the same. For that purpose, it's the same. So therefore, use the word Moshav. Here I have a overriding reason to tell you why. Because it's normal derech for a lady to ride a camel, her legs are spread, to sit so she can hold on. That's not considered a problem. That she says, on the bottom line, Shehu gavoa, camel is tall. Umitiyareh shelo tepol. Or had isha lirkov, kedesh shetem mahzeket bo biyadayim v'raglayim. But she needs a grip, not only with her hands. Her legs have to be around the animal so she can hold on. Okay, the Torah's holding. And the Torah's not going to change every time the word. If there's a reason to tell me the word, which is normal, that's going to say the word. Where it doesn't make a nafkamina, moshav, merkav. We're not discussing riding animals by a zavah. So say the word moshav. We learn the same thing. So Gabriel, what do you mean? V'akirti v'ikak moshe teshto v'etbanav v'yarkivim alachamor. Right. It says what? That Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife and his sons, and he rode them on a donkey. Right, so you don't have the camel answer. And his wife was there. The Gemara answers, Hatam Nishum Banav. Okay, well, you have to remember his sons were there. So therefore, Urchehu. Therefore, that's the normal derech. Which means his wife actually also rode on the donkey. But the Torah can get away with riding Vayarkibim, because his sons are involved. The Rosh Yosef actually learns a little different. That's the way that she knows. The Rosh Yosef says, no, his wife actually didn't ride on the donkey at all. V'yad kibim is only referring to his sons. Finish, so you have no question at all. V'aketiv, we have a pasuk in the Nevi'im. It says, V'hi rochevet ala chamor. This was the story of Abigail. Abigail, who was the wife of Naval, who eventually became David HaMelech's wife. Naval was very disrespectful to David HaMelech. He did not receive him properly. Abigail went to ask forgiveness to David HaMelech, that he should forgive Naval's bad ways. So she came towards David. She was riding on a Hamor to go greet David. So the person says, "Vehi rochevet al hamor." So Gemara says, "Hata mishum biyartutad elia." But how? Well, she was traveling at night. So at night, it's the derech to ride on the hamor where your legs are around it because scared. You want to have a tight grip because if you're traveling at night, you're scared. At night there's no fear to ride on the hamor. Mishum biyartutad David. But the fear is to greet David HaMelech. That's already... You're nervous. You're greeting a great personality. So therefore, she was scared. She had to ride the hamor tight, you know, with full grip out of the fear of David HaMelech. So it's a normal way to say that she was rochevet. I'll tell you what, there's no biyotutah to David as well. Mishum biyotutah dehar. Because she was riding on a mountain. And therefore, since she's riding down a mountain, so therefore there's... Have to hold on tight. So what's the normal way to say rochevet? Biyotutah dehar. Ika. Okay. Now comes the Gemara and says, Ube'oraita milokitiv tameh. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're making a whole story over here that the Torah went 8 letters out of its way in order to say asher enen tehora, that it is not pure, instead of saying the word tameh. What do you mean? The Torah doesn't write the word tameh? Like the question we saw in that she? The Gemara is asking now. What do you mean? The Torah is filled with the word tameh. Ela, kol hecha dechi hadad ninu mishta'e bilshon nekiyah. Which means, if it's equal, meaning if you're not going to have to expend any difference in letters, so then already I'll tell you, what does it cost you? Use the lashon nikiyah. Kol hecha dinefishin mile mishta'e b'lashon kitzara. But if by using lashon nikiyah it's going to cause you to be more lengthy, then the Torah opts for brevity. So there's two principles working over here: lashon nikiyah and lashon kitzara. Two important principles. So if you can keep brevity by using a clean word, meaning if the clean word is 3 letters and the not so clean word is also 3 letters, so brevity is the same. Therefore, up to Lashon Nikiyah. But if the Lashon Nikiyah is longer, and the Lashon not Nikiyah is shorter, then brevity is more important. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, one time, the Torah even sacrificed brevity to teach you a lesson. That it's worthy to have Lashon Nikiyah, even if you have to write 8 letters. One time he made an exception. But the general rule of the rest of the Torah is, brevity is the rule, unless you can get an equal letters. Good? So we're not discussing the first time. The first time we know the Torah abandoned brevity to show you the din of Lashon Nikiyah. But after that time, it says Tavim many times. Oh, then the rule after the first time is equal letters, put Lashon Nikiyah. Now, more letters, go for the Lashon that's not so Nikiyah. Now, what's so important about keeping brevity? So the Gemara says, Kedamar Avuna, Amar Rav. Ve'am Nila, Amar Avuna, Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Le'olam Yishane Adam Le'talmido Derech Kesara. Whenever you're teaching your students, you should always try to teach them in the most brief way possible. Especially, you have to remember, in the old days, everything was by heart. So you were teaching them the Girsa of the Mishnayot. So therefore, you have to try to figure out to say the deen in the quickest way so they can remember it. If you're going to say it in a very verbose manner, so the Talmid's not going to be able to have a grasp of it. So therefore, there is an inyan to say it in a short way. Ketzara. Decholecha dechi hadad eninu mishta'e belashon kavod. Now the Gemara questions that rule. You're telling me what? That when you can keep the same amount of letters, so brevity is good, then you opt for the better language? Back to the story of Abigail, it says, Vihi Rochevet. Rochevet is how many letters? Resh, Chaf, Bet, Taf. How much is Yoshevet? Yud, Shin, Bet, Taf. Therefore, you could have put Yoshevet, you didn't lose brevity, same amount of letters, so what do you, why'd you say Rochevet? Gemara says, V'kama Rochevet. So the Gemara says, Rochevet Ketiv. Which means, if you look at the way Rochevet is spelled without a Vav. And therefore, you're being more brief by using the word Rochevet, which is Yoshevet, you would spell Yud Vav, Shin, Bet, Taf. Wait. That's the Tosfot's question. Yud Vav, Shin, Bet, Taf. Rochevet is Resh, Chav, Bet, Taf. So for brevity we use. Look at the Tosafot. Tosfot says, second to the Rochevet, Vim Tomar, Nechtov Nami Yoshevet. So why Yoshevet without a Vav? What's the Chokmah over here? You can't write Yoshev without a Vav. Because not writing a Vav in the word Yoshevet, already there's Drashot, it has to be. Because whenever the Torah doesn't write a Vav in Yoshevet, there's a reason. So we can't just leave out a Vav. Leaving a Vav, we would be forced now to find a Drashah for that. So therefore, unless we have a Drashah, you have to write it with a Vav. You can't just take out the Vav. So therefore, you had to write Yoshevet with a Vav. Yud, Vav, Shin, Bet, Tav, that's 5. Rochevet without a Vav, that's 4. Go for the brevity. So the rule stands. Hanehu tre talmideh. There were 2 students. Vahavu yadve kameh derav. There were 2 students in front of Rav. Hadamar. It seems Rav just gave them a very long or very difficult derasha, or difficult halakha. So one student said, Shavitanin, you made us? Haishmatad, what this halakha that you just told us? Kedavar acher mesankan. We became tired like a davar acher, like a pig. That's less than you wore us out like a tired pig. Vehad amar, Shavitanin, haishmatad, this halakha that you just told us? Kigidi mesankan. You wore us out like a worn out kid, a small goat. Now obviously, the one that used the goat is a little more cleaner, refined than the Gemara doesn't even want to say, davar acher, than the one that used the other language. Mm-hmm. Rav stopped talking to the other student. Meaning, he was put in Hirim. He did not talk to him for 30 days. Why? Because the first one that used the Lashon, the Barachir, meaning pig, not knife. What do you have to use that Lashon for? So therefore, he excommunicated him. He didn't say it. It's the Gemara saying that Lashon, not the Bimotzi. He said it. He said it. He just doesn't want to... The Gemara doesn't want to say it. Comes the Gemara and continues, Anihutre Talmideh. There were two students. The Abu Yadve Kamed Hillel. There were two students that were in front of Hillel. The Had Minayu Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai. One of the students was Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai. The Amirah, some say Kamed de Rabbi. Some say it was in front of Rabbi, this story. The Had Minayu Rabbi Yohanan. Some say it was Rabbi Yohanan. Had Amar, one student said, Mipene ma botsrim betahora. Ve'en moskin betahora. What's the difference between besira and mesika? We had this in the second Shabbat, if you remember. Botser is to collect the grapes. The grapes are, let's say, in the press, right? So you want to now collect the grapes. So you take the, let's say, a ladle or some type of ma'ata, a certain type of shovel, and you botser, you scoop them up. Now, that keli that you're going to use to be botzer grapes has to be tahor. Why? Because if, let's say, the keli is not tahor, it's going to come in contact with the grapes, it's going to make the grapes tameh. Why? The law normally is that something has to be mukshar first, prepared by one of the liquids. It has to be wet. Well, it is wet, because the juice of the grapes, right, it's in the press. Now, one of the seven liquids that have the ability to be makshir is what? Yayin. The hiddush of the Gemara is that it's considered yayin immediately. Once it comes out of the grapes already, that's considered yayin. Therefore, it's makshir. Therefore, the keli you use has to be tahor. As opposed to olives. When you go collect the olives, which is called misika, the keli you use does not have to be tahor. Why? Because that little juice that comes out of the olives, that's not considered shemen yet. And therefore, those olives are not considered mukshar. Therefore, even if the keli is tamei and it comes in contact with the olives, no problem. That was a discussion in the Beit Midrash that day. So one of the students said, "Mepene ma botsrim betahora? Why, when it comes to grapes, you have to have the vessel to be tahor, the en moskim betahora, but you don't have to mosek, meaning take the olives betahora." So he was very careful in his language. He used the word tahora both times. The hadamar mipenema botsrim betahora. When it comes to the grapes, you botsir betahora umoskin betumah. The other student said it explicitly. Why are you able to be mosek betumah? They asked the same question. Just one was using the lashon tumah. Amar. Muftach ani bazeh shemoreh hora'ah b'Yisrael. I am certain that this student that used the nice lashon, he is going to be a posek halakha for the Jewish nation. Ve'lo haya yamim mu'atim ad shehora'ah hora'ah b'Yisrael. And many days that passed, that indeed, either it was Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Yohanan, he became a posek. And you say, why? Because he used Lashon Nikiyah. Hanu tlata kahane. There were three kohanim. Had amar lehu, that they were discussing how much lechem apanim they got. Right? On Shabbat they would split the lechem apanim, the showbread, amongst the kohanim. So the kohanim were discussing, how much bread did you get? So one said, Higiani kefun. I got the size of a fool, the size of a bean. The had amar giani kezayit. The one said, I got the size of a kezayit. The hadamar higiani kezanav halita'a. I got the size of the tail of a lizard. What do you have to say tail of a lizard for? The lizard is not even tahor. What kind of talk is that? So the Gemara says the rabbis were very concerned of that type of language. But kuah harav. So they checked his lineage. They went after to check this guy if he's really legitimate. Umatzo bo shemitz pasul. That they actually found out he had a psul kehuna. He was a halal. meaning he was the son of a divorcee, which means a Kohen that marries a divorcee. That son, even though his last name is Kohen, he's a halal, he's pasul, the keuna, which means just from the language that he used, everybody's psul Kohen. So comes the, that's the way that she learns. Tosfot learns Shemitz Pasul, Pirech Rabbeinu Hananel, Devar Avodat Kochavim. They found out, no, that this guy had Avodat Kochavim tendencies, which means he worked at the Bet Mikdash of Honyo. Honyo had a Bet Mikdash in Egypt, and the Kohanim that worked over there was suspected for Avodat Zarah. They found this guy was not legitimate. So comes the Gemara and says, wait, no, we have a rule that once a person makes it to the service of the Beit HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, you don't check him anyway, there's no inspection. Which means if the guy's already working, he passed the scrutiny of the Sanhedrin. Jesus said, they didn't let any guy just go become a Kohen. They check him before, they interrogate, they find out who his family is and all that. So this guy over here, so he said to him up at the top, but Kuaharav. What are you checking after him? Well, the rule is, once he makes it to the Mizbeach, finished. That means he went through the scrutiny. So the Gemara says, okay, lo temashim it's pasul. Okay, don't say that they checked his lineage. That wasn't the issue. Ela ema shahatz pasul. Which means they found in his service itself, there was a certain amount of shahatz. Shahatz would be haughtiness. Which means certain services that he was doing, he was mezelzel. He wasn't doing all the avodah the proper way. And the halakha says, even if a kohen refuses to do even the smallest of the services, you depose him, you get rid of him. So therefore, shemetz they didn't find. They didn't check his lineage. But what? Shahatz they did find. Bi'ibaytema shari'atam. I go, no, here's different, by the way. They didn't check his lineage. You know why? The EU, the Araq, Nafshe. He himself caused them, compromised himself. Which means you're right. You don't check somebody if there's no smoke, if there's no reason to. But this guy, when he opened his mouth and said, like the size of a lizard's tail, said, oh, this guy must have gotten through security. This guy must have gotten through the scrutiny of the Hakamim. Gotta check this guy. Because this guy's worse. Normally a guy, you don't just go for no reason and start checking a lineage of a Kohen that made it to the Mizbeah. But this guy gave us a red flag, so therefore we had to check it out. And sure enough, they found Shemes Pasul. Hahu Arma'a. Famous story. There was a certain goy. Da'avas Salik ve'achil Pesachim Yerushalayim. He's a wise guy. He used to go to Yerushalayim every year, and he used to eat from the Korban Pesach. Goy, not allowed, but he went and he masqueraded like a Jew. And every year, well, he knows he's getting a piece of meat over there in Yerushalayim. So he goes, somehow he get a piece of meat from the Korban Pesachim. Amar Ketiv, and he made a mockery, this goy. He said, it says in the Torah, Kol ben necha lo yochal bo. It says a Gentile cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Kol arel lo yochal bo. Any person that's not circumcised cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Ve'ana, he says, and me? Ka'achina meshufre shufre, and I'm eating from the best of the meat. Not only am I eating the Korban Pesach, but I'm getting the best piece of the Korban Pesach. Yeah, there's a joke over here. He's making a joke on us. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera heard this. Amale Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Mika safulach me'alya? Yeah, are they giving you the tail? Which is the hind quarters of the animal. That's the most delicious meat. You say, oh, you're really getting the good spot? You're not getting the good spot. Are they giving you the hindquarters, the tail? Amale la. He says, no, they're not giving me that part. So the Rebbe says, all right, fine, listen. Ki salak lehatam, the next time you go up to Yerushalayim for Pesach, em alehu, tell the Kohanim, safuli me'aliyah. Tell them, you want from the aliyah. Now the only problem is, the aliyah goes on the Mizbeach. So therefore, that's going to give him away for being a faker. He's going to ask for the piece of meat that doesn't exist. That goes to God, that piece of meat. Kisalik, so he comes up to Yerushalayim the next year, Amarle, me'aliyah safuli. I'll take from the aliyah, please. So Amru there, so the Kohanim tell him, what are you talking about? Aliyah l'gavo asalka. The aliyah goes to the Hashem, to the Mizbeach. Amru there, so they tell him, Man amar lach hache. Who gave you this advice to take from the aliyah? Amar lehu Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. So what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda ben Tana told me. So now the Rebbe Kohanim became suspicious. They said, now Rabbi Yehuda ben Tana was probably trying to tip us off that something's with this guy. Amru, my Haidi Kaman. Who's this guy over here now? They started to question, who's this guy in front of us? But Kubatre, Bashkihu, Darmahahu. They found that he was a goy, Vikatluhu, and they killed him. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tana, he would have killed him if he had the ability to do it, but he wouldn't have the ability. Therefore, he sent them to the authorities in Yerushalayim, and they took care of him. Comes the Gemara and says, now again, the only reason why I was bringing this story over here, not that it teaches us anything about Lashon Nikiya or not, it's just that it's a similar story to the last story where a Kohen was, they checked after him and they found out that he was not legitimate. So there's another case, they checked after this goy and they found out who he was and they killed him because of that. Now, Tosafot has a whole discussion over here about what's the law when somebody comes in front of you and says he's Jewish. Do you believe him or do you don't believe him? From this Gemara it sounds like that you believe him. Because when the goy came to Yerushalayim, nobody asked him for ID, nobody asked him for proof. He said, I'm Jewish. They gave him Korban Peh till they knew otherwise. So this is a very important Gemara to know exactly, do you trust the guy when he comes along as a Jew, or do you demand proof? So Tosfos says, don't bring a proof in this Gemara. Because this is a case over here where since Rov Yisrael come up to Korban Pesachim, so you could assume that this guy is from the Rov. But maybe in a regular case, the guy shows up to Beit Din or something like that where he's alone, where he's not part of a Rov, maybe you really have to investigate and see. So there's a whole machlok in the Rishonim exactly on the ne'emanut of a Jew. Do you have to question or not? Comes the Gemara and says, Shalchu le'el Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. In any event, the Hakamim realized that Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, it was his doings to expose this guy. So they sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera and they said, Shalom lach Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Peace be unto you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. De'ad b'netzibin. You're in the city of Netzibin, umtsudatech perusa b'Yerushalayim. But your net is already... Perusa is spread out in Jerusalem, which means your power reaches all the way to Jerusalem. It means even though you're in the TV, we killed the guy, which means you trapped this guy over here. Your power reaches Yerushalayim. Rav Kahana halash. Gemara tells a story. Rav Kahana got sick. Shadru ha-Rabbanan Rabbi Yoshua bered Rav Idi. So the rabbi sent Rabbi Yoshua bered Rav Idi to go visit him or to go see how he's doing. Amru, they told him, Zil Bedok, go investigate. My dine, go see what's with Rav Kahana. Ata, Ashkehed de Nachnafshe. Oh, he went and he realized, he saw that he died. Rav Kahana had passed away. Kara'el el Bushe. So, Rabbi Yoshua ripped his garments. Like the halakha says, you see, Tamir Hakam Shemet, you have to rip your garments. Vahadereh le Kara'el Achore. But he turned his garment around so the rip will not be seen evidently. Why? Because he didn't want to shock the Hakamim when he comes back. If he's going to come back with his torn garment, it'll be a sudden shock for the Hakamim. So he hid the rip on the back. But he came back crying. Amrule nach nafshe. Rav Kahana must have passed away. Amar lehu, ana lo ka'amina. He says, I'm not saying anything. Umotzi dibahu kesil. Anybody that's the bearer of bad news is an imbecile. So what? He told it to them, the remez. Which means they saw him crying and they saw the rip on the back. He did it in a way where he doesn't have to actually verbalize this. Here we get the practice that we don't like to announce bad news. Even when they announce Chas V'Shalom and Levaya, they announce a bit of it. There's a mitzvah today. They say mitzvah. They don't want to say b'ferush explicitly because you shouldn't really be the bearer of bad news. So comes the Gemara and says, last story. Again, that's part of the sugya here. That not only you have to be careful of your lashon, but even the content of what you say should also be taken into consideration. Yohanan Hakuka'a. Now, Hakuka'a either is that she says his name. Tosfot says that's his profession. He was a sofer. That's the way of saying a sofer, a scribe, Hakuka'a. Or that was the name of the place that he came from. The city of Hakuka. In any event, what was the story with this fellow? Yohanan Hakuka, Nafak the Kriyata. He went to his fields to see exactly what's the story with his wheat. What's going on with his crops. Kiyata, when he got there, Amru, they told him, Hitin Na'asu Yafut. So they told him, this year the Hitin, nice, have a good the good crop. Amar lahim. Well, actually, Amru le. When he came back, when Yohanan Hakuka'a came back from investigating the fields, they asked him, "Hitim nasu yafot?" It's a question. What's going on with the wheat crop? It's a good wheat crop. Amar lahim si'urim nasu yafot. He said, "Well, put it this way: the barley crop is very good this year." Amru le. So the rabbis didn't like that answer. They told him, "Se ubasar lasusim velahamorim," which means dichtib hasseurim vehateven lasusim velarechesh. They told him, "Go out. What kind of answer are you giving me? Seurim? Who eats seurim? Human beings don't eat barley. Barley is the animal, the food of animals." So they asked him, what's going on with the wheat? So he didn't want to, he thought he was doing good. He didn't want to tell him bad news explicitly. So he said, put it this way, the barley crop is very good. So they tell him, what are we doing with barley? I'll give the barley to the animals, I'll give it to the horses. What are we doing with barley? Right. Say, they told you, Hanukkah, go out. Ubasir, go tell that news. Lisusim v'lahamorim. Go tell the news. The animals will be very happy with that news. That's the food of animals. So the Gemara says, "My happy lele memar." What do you want? What do you want? The guy was trying to not to be the bearer of bad news. What did you want him to say? He should have said like this: "Ishtakad nasu hitim yafut." He should have said, "Well, put it this way: last year the wheat crop was very good," which means he should have kept it in food that's fit for human beings. He shouldn't have went to Se'orim. Or he could have said, Iname Adashim Nasu Yafot. Or could he said, well, put it this way, the lentils this year, which is Ma'achal Adam, are very good. So the fact that he opted to say Ma'achal Se'orim, even though he was trying not to be the bearer of bad news, Se'orim wasn't a good example. He should have used an example that's more Ra'ui, more Bechubad, for human beings. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.